Definition of a miracle is an extraordinary event taken as a sign of the power of God. And then it says on Malta. Malta in the Greek means refuge.
Okay.
So refuge, the definition of a refuge is a condition of being safe or sheltered from pursuit, danger, or trouble. And you should be taking your refuge in God.
Yeah.
Not man, but God.
Yeah.
Okay, so we're going to start these scriptures. One per person, starting with Sister Barry.
Let me get her mic.
Acts 28:1. Acts 28:1. And when they were escaped, then they knew that the island was called.
generous people showed us how little kindness, for they kindled a fire and received us everyone because of the present rain and because of the cold.
Three, and when Paul had gathered a bundle of sticks and laid them on the fire, there came a vapor out of the heat and fastened on his hand.
And when the barbarians saw the venomous beast hang on his hand, they said among themselves, "No doubt this man is a murderer. Who thought he had escaped the sea, yet vengeance suffered not."
Verse 5, and he shook off the beast into the fire and felt no harm.
Howbeit they looked when he should have swollen or fallen down dead suddenly. But after they had looked a great while and saw no harm come to him, they changed their minds and said that he was a god.
Verse 7.
In the same quarters were possessions of the chief man of the island, whose name was Publius, who received us and lodged us 3 days courteously.
And it came to pass that the father of Publius lay sick of a fever and of a bloody flux, to whom Paul entered in and prayed and laid his hands on him and healed him.
So when this was done, others also, which had diseases in the island, came and were healed, who also honored us with many honors, and when we departed, they laded us with such things as were necessary. Amen. Hallelujah.
Okay. So, y'all, miracles on Malta. So, I don't know if y'all know, but it's a lot of miracles in the Bible. It's a lot.
Yeah.
We're not seeing all of them, but just a few of them are walking on water.
Okay.
You have the demoniacs delivered. You have the blind sight restored, which is actually what we saw last week. Lepers healed. You have man by the pool of Bethesda. You have the man at the gate, and much, much, much more. So we're going to start off with just a simple background. So we see right here, Acts 3:81, that they escaped from something, and they ended up on Melita, but it doesn't really show you exactly what happened. So what happens is that Paul is prisoner. So he's on a ship. They're on the way to Rome. He already went through a bunch. They're on the way to Rome, and then a storm comes. How I visualize it is this night, that rain starts to come, that thunder, the lightning, it's just all a whole bunch of stuff.
Yeah.
Next thing you know, they're shipwrecked.
Uh-oh.
And guess where they end up? Anyone want to take a guess? You're right. Yeah. Who said it? Malta. Exactly.
Yeah.
So, it's two different ways you can say it. It's either Malta or Melita. It depends on the version that you see. But they both mean refuge. That's the important part. They both mean refuge. So, starting with verse 1, Acts 28:1. So, it says, and when they were escaped, then they knew that the island was called Melita. So basically what happened here is the meaning of escape, meaning that if the shipwreck happened, and then after the shipwreck happened, they end up here, like I just said before. And they ended up on this island. It's called Melita. So the island is about, it's a small island. It's about 18 miles long, 8 miles wide, and it's located about 60 miles of Sicily. So, verse 2. And the barbarous people showed us no little kindness, for they kindled a fire and received us everyone, because of the present rain and because of the cold. Now, the word barbarous is not necessarily what people think it actually is.
Right.
So when you see barbarous in here, the Jews back in the day were a little, it could be kind of mean, but they were very particular who they associated themselves with.
Right.
So barbarous, most of the times it means savagely cruel, exceedingly brutal, primitive and uncivilized. But here it just means they were not Roman or Greek.
There we go.
So if you see the Greek word of barbarous, it's actually barbaros, and it means the babbler. because mm-hmm. any Greek or Roman person, they spoke in a different tongue as the Jews. Uh-huh. So it sounded like where they couldn't understand what was saying.
Yeah.
So they would call them the barbarians because it meant the babblers. So they didn't understand what they were saying. Yeah. I'm telling you, it's kind of mean, but that's what they had. That's what they had. So So it sounded like unintelligible sounds. So, and it says, and the barbarous people showed us no little kindness. So the barbarous people, most times the people that people push to the side, think they're going to be all animal-like and all this stuff.
Yeah.
They're the people that showed them the most kindness, had the most hospitality, and received us everyone.
Uh-huh.
It was 276 of them. 276.
Yeah.
They received all of them, and they gave them all hospitality. That's better than some Christians, because some Christians ain't going to do that.
Hmm.
But the fact that they received all of them, that's important.
Yeah.
So it says, because of the present rain and because of the cold. So, like I said, it's raining, but most of the storm stopped by now. Most of right about now, it's just the rain and it's just really cold.
Yeah.
So you know when you're cold and it's raining, that's not a good mix. And then you already getting wet, and then on top of that, you're getting more wet. That can at least the sickness.
Hmm.
So that leads us to verse 3. And when Paul had gathered a bundle of sticks and laid them on the fire, there came a viper out of the heat and fastened on his hand. So y'all, he saw it was cold, he saw it was hot. They had a fire going already. But Paul, the thing about Paul is that he knew how to be a leader and he knew how to be a servant. That's something that's important about being a Christian. You have to know how to be a leader mm-hmm. and you have to know how to be a servant.
Right. That's
You're
right.
You're not always going to have to lead. Sometimes you have to know how to step back. Some of us have issues with that.
Yeah.
You have to know when to step back and when to lead at certain times.
Yeah.
So, before this, when they were on before the shipwreck happened, a lot of them wanted to jump off. And I mean a lot. They were going to jump into the water because they thought it was going to be smarter than staying in the ship. Paul was the one that told them, stay in the boat and you will live. You jump off, you will die. They stayed in the boat and they all lived because of it. So that was his leader moment. Right here, he's serving. So he's gathering these bundles of sticks to put on the fire. So he's not only thinking about himself, about the fire, it's trying to stay warm, but he wants everybody to stay warm. It's not just about him.
Yeah.
So he knows it's unified. It's unified. Yeah. So he don't want any person to be left behind. That's how we should be as Christians. We shouldn't want people to be left behind. We shouldn't have that time where we're like, well, I know they did this and I know they did that, so I'm going to let them stay over there. It should be a unified body, y'all. God says he wants no divisions.
That's
but
right.
yet there's many divisions in the church today.
That's right.
That's not how it's supposed to be.
Mm-hmm.
So, and laid them on the fire. There came a viper out of the heat and fastened on his hand. So, a viper. Anybody know what a viper is?
A snake.
And a lot of times the snake represents the enemy.
That's right.
So it's a viper out of the heat and fastened on his hand. So fasten just means he bit and he clenched.
Mm-hmm.
So he was holding on. And I mean, he was holding on.
Yeah.
And you know, a lot of things about the viper likes to come out of the heat, so it likes to come when it least expect it. Because if you actually look deeper into it, the viper was in the sticks, but he didn't attack till he got touched by the heat. So he came at a shocking time.
Mm-hmm.
But that also shows you that any time that that you're doing good, evil is going to be present at the same time.
Yeah.
And it may not come when you think it's going to come, but it will come. But God.
Okay.
But God.
Hmm.
And when the barbarians saw the venomous beast hang on his hand, so they saw this venomous beast, this poisonous beast, this deadly beast hang on his hand. So the thing about this right here is that they saw the snake before, and they mm-hmm. seen what happens to the snake. So this snake, it was poisonous. So they seen the snake, they knew it was poisonous, so they knew what was going to happen to him because of this. So they was like, he gonna die, he gonna do this, and he gonna do this, because they seen the snake, and they seen what happens to the people that get bit by this snake. So then it says, no doubt, this man is a murderer, whom, though he hath escaped the sea, yet vengeance suffereth not to live. So what does this say right here? Man is always going to have a conclusion about you. But man's conclusion is not God's conclusion.
All right.
Hallelujah.
Man's conclusion is not God's conclusion.
Yes,
and
sir.
And that even goes back to the calling side of it.
A lot
of people get called, but they look at people too much, but they can't actually pay attention to what God has said.
Yeah.
When you're called, God has called you to that thing, not people. Yeah. People look too much at the person. Oh, how did they get called and I couldn't get called to that? It don't work like that. God calls you. Man does not call you. It's God. It is God. So, and he shook off the beast into the fire and felt no harm. By the way, if anybody has comments, y'all are welcome to.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
And you're right. The one thing about Paul, he had his mind made up to do exactly what he was called to do. Mm-hmm. He went through a lot. And, you know, we remember also that when you accept Christ, there's sufferings in it. It's not always things happen to you that you like or you're able to change. But with Paul, he kept going. And he kept moving. And he kept serving. And I like that about him. It shows us that we can't quit. And don't stop.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Amen. This is an awesome lesson. Amen. We all know that Paul was a Jew. And even his own people were trying to kill him and persecute him, even as they did with Jesus. But here it is, he had somebody that was not like him, a Gentile. Amen. Somebody that I don't even think knew of his God, and that's his purpose was to bring it forth. And these people didn't even know about the God that he served, but God had them to take care of him. And you see many places in the Bible where God will always have people that are not like you, are not like the people in the Bible, but they always end up taking care of them, feeding them, setting up a place for them to lay. But I just like how God did it, because at this time, like I said before, his own people were trying to kill him, you know.
And that even goes to the point of, you know, a lot of people think of snake, they're like, okay, yeah, snake, an animal. But a person can be a snake too, to be simply honest. A person can be a snake. And we all, that's why you have to be very careful who you have in your life.
That's right.
Because just like that snake bit and he fastened, a person can do the same thing.
Yeah, that's right.
And just because they act like your friend right now, don't mean they're your friend in the end. Some people are just for a season. Just for a season. But, verse 5, and he shook off the beast into the fire and felt no harm. You got to learn how to shake things off of you.
Yeah.
So you have to learn how to go to God and say, God, take this away from me.
That's
you
right.
have to learn how to, not everything is meant to be held on to. Sometimes we lay in something that God has called you out of.
That's
you
right.
have to learn how to let go of stuff. Because a lot of times God has called you out of something, but you're laying on it that you're not supposed to be laying in. It's for no reason. You grab the pillow, but God is saying, I want you to get up and walk.
Yeah.
So, he shook off the beast into the fire and felt no harm. He felt no harm. So that even just shows you that when the attack may come, those trials and tribulations, they may come, but you will feel no harm. So the thing about it is it may hurt during the middle of it, but when you come out, it's going to be for the greater good.
All right.
So,
amen.
Verse 6 says, howbeit they looked when he should have swollen or fallen down dead suddenly. Swollen or fallen down dead suddenly. Hmm. So this just shows you that the past times that they saw this snake bite someone, this is what happened. The person is swollen or they either fallen down dead suddenly. It's just one of the two. But that's what it's suddenly. But meaning that it's something about to be different. But after they looked a great while,
uh-huh.
It doesn't actually show you how long they actually looked at this at Paul and like actually observed him. But it says a great while, so you knew it had to be a little mini. So, and saw no harm come to him, they changed their minds and said that he was a god. They changed their minds and said that he was a god. So the thing about this is just that these people were really pagan people. They were really pagan people. So they believed that if a favorable event happened to you, that means that the gods favored you.
Mm-hmm.
And if an unfavorable event happened to you, that means that the god did not favor you.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So they believe when they saw this snake bite, they're like, oh, he must have been a murderer, because they knew he was a prisoner. Because, I mean, you're going to know somebody's a prisoner. So they knew mm-hmm. he was a prisoner. They knew all these things. They knew he was a prisoner. They knew he was shipwrecked. And now the snake bite, they're like, nah, look, now something, he did something wrong with the gods. He did something wrong on this side. He did something wrong. But then they saw him living, and they were like, how are you alive? Because they never seen someone live with a snake bite.
Mm.
So they about to see the God that we serve. They have been focused on pagan gods, false gods, little g gods. They haven't got to see big G God yet, but they're about to see.
Yeah.
So they saw no harm come to him. They changed their mind and said that he was a god. So you see that it was a change in their mind. So this already shows you that during this little process, their mind was changing. Their mind was changing, which means their mind had to be open to change. So, verse 7, and the same quarters were possessions of the chief man of the island, whose name was Publius, who received us and lodged us 3 days courteously. So, This just shows you that sometimes your suffering is not just for you.
Yeah.
Sometimes your suffering is not just for you, but it can be for others also. Because if you think about it, if they would not have seen Paul get bit, if he would not have went through that little bit of pain, first off, he wouldn't have got to where he is right now, to the chief of the island. He's at the chief of the island. But not only did he take care of himself, but it says, who received us. Publius took in all 276 of them. So sometimes you can be everyone else's blessing because of who you serve. That's important. That is very important. And lodged us 3 days courteously. So this was 3 days, but they end up staying 3 months in this little island. 3 months. 3 months. Go ahead.
I just wanted to say too, to God be glory.
Yeah.
You know, Paul had a point he was trying to show him too. Like even in last week's lesson? Whatever lesson it was, but this one before, where this man was had the land in front of the temple all that time. And once they got in, he said, you looking at us like we did it.
Yeah. Mm.
But to God be the glory. And now let me tell you, that thing is hard. And I know when you suffer and you're going through something that you don't want to go through, you see what I'm saying? You may have an understanding and you may not, but it's for God's glory. You see what I'm saying? Like you're suffering and you need healing in your body and it has not come yet. And so you wait patiently for that. You have to, because you don't have any choice. Is when he gets ready to do it, but the understanding of is for his glory. You see what I'm saying? When I think about things like that, I think about Sister Pratt. And then she'll go through something and he'll bring her out again and he'll heal her. And then, and people, believe me, people are watching. They're always watching. And so you said it's for God's glory. And then you have to go and let God explain to you why. Well, then use somebody else to suffer for your glory. You see what I'm saying? But he can use whoever. I think I heard you say that he can use whoever he wants. That's going to glorify him. But sooner or later, he'll deliver you and bring you out.
Amen.
Man.
It's the faith.
Mm. And that just goes to the point of you have to be careful when you say God sent me. Because he will send you and he will use you. That's why they say you serve a God of specificity. Because if you don't be specific, he will use you. It's up to him how he wants to use you.
Yep.
So you have to be careful when you say that because you have to mean what you say.
Yeah.
So, like I said, Publius was the chief man of the island. So as chief official on Malta, this basically means that he served under the governor of Sicily.
Yeah.
So this was a Roman place, if y'all didn't know. So that's part of the reason why he called them barbarous, because they were barbarians, technically because they didn't speak with the Jews, quote. They were Roman and Greek. So, verse 8 says, and it came to pass that the father of Publius lay sick of fever and of a bloody fluke, to whom Paul entered in and prayed and laid his hands on him and healed him. So, this one right here says, and came to pass that the father of the Publius. So the thing about the Publius is, he wasn't just doing this. He was doing this to be nice, technically. So, you know, when you help one of God's children, it's a reward for it. And especially when you help someone that's in leadership, as like an apostle, prophet, and other kind of stuff, and furthermore, it's a reward for that. So he took them in, but he didn't know what was going to happen because of him taking him in. So, it says, the father of Publius lay sick of a fever and of a bloody fluke. So he had this was some serious stuff going on.
Mm-hmm.
So first off, he had a fever.
Yep.
But then he had the bloody flutes. Another word for the bloody flutes is called dysentery. And it basically is bloody diarrhea with mucus. So this was a lot of stuff going on. That's a lot of stuff going on. So he had been sick for a while. And it says, to whom Paul entered in and prayed. To whom Paul entered in and he prayed. So realize they just called him a god. They just called him a god. If you're a God, you're not going to pray to yourself.
Right.
So that shows everybody that he had to be relying on something else differently.
Right.
So that showed them that he had a God that he was serving. The God.
Yeah.
So, and prayed and laid hands on him and healed him.
Hmm.
Yeah.
So by the laying of the hands, it transferred the healing.
Yeah.
So God uses us all in different ways.
Yeah.
Some are healers. Some can do different things, but it's based off of God. It's not based off of yourself.
That's right.
Now, God will have you do something sometimes, depending if he wants to use you in that.
Mm-hmm.
But you can't just go and be like, I'm going to heal this person today, and be like, that's not how it works. It has to be God ordained.
Yes.
It has to be God ordained. That's very important.
That's right.
Because another thing to be careful about, especially with healing, is if you go up to somebody that you haven't been ordained to go to, sometimes that thing can jump on you. Because, you know, spirits do jump.
Yes, sir.
And it will come back on you, and you'll be wondering what happened. You were not ordained when you went to that person.
Yeah.
So, it'd just be two people with the same sickness now because you did something you weren't supposed to be doing.
Yeah.
So, you have to be careful about that, y'all. So when this was done, others also, which had diseases in the island, came and were healed. So, basically, this just shows you that just like Jesus, when he would do a miracle, what would happen is he would bring a crowd to him. Because I don't know if you know, but if somebody do something like miraculous or something, do something that's big, other people are going to travel to it because they're going to be like, well, I want to see it too. I have something they need to do. I have something this. I have something to do this. So it brought a crowd. And this is for God's glory because he wants to pitch you on a display so that way others can see it.
That's right.
So.
That's right.
Which had diseases in the island and they came and they were healed. What's important to remember is that these people were pagan. These people were pagan, so they didn't know our God.
Hmm.
So it wasn't just healing that took place, but it was also evangelism.
Yeah.
Because if you heal something, if God heals something, a lot of times they're going to want to know who was it that healed them.
Okay, yeah. Okay.
That's where the evangelism slid in because they had the Paul was teaching them about God throughout the healings.
That's right.
So furthermore, verse 10, who also honored us with many honors, and when we departed, they laded us with such things as were necessary.
Hmm.
So, who also honored us with many honors. It's very important to honor those that bless you.
That's right.
I know a person that always says, honor the house that blesses you.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not always money. Sometimes it can be money. It can be service. Gratitude. It's different things that love. It's different ways you can honor someone.
That's right.
But it's important to honor those that bless you. So, and when we departed, they laded us with such things as were necessary. So, Paul lost everything when he was on that shipwreck. Everything was lost.
Hmm.
Everything was gone. It was all lost. In 3 months, 3 months, 3 months, y'all, they had a ship again to leave.
Yeah.
And then not only that, but they gained everything they had plus
more. Okay, now.
So how many of y'all know the God of restoration?
Hmm.
Because the God of restoration, what restoration truly is, restoration is simply this. It's replacing the old with the new. So when God restores something, when he restores you, basically happens is this.
Yeah.
He takes the old away and replaces it with something better.
Yes. Okay.
So anytime that he restores you, even if it's a friend, it could be a person, it could be a thing. When he restores and takes that old, he's going to give you something better.
That's
he may take away something, but you have to realize you serve the God of restoration. Meaning that when he restores, it shall be something better when it comes back. So it's important to remember that though you may have lost something, that God will restore you. He will give you something better than you had before.
Yeah.
It's very important to remember that. So the main point of this lesson is this. Oh, go ahead. It's on you then. I honestly don't know anybody that you get restored. Okay, think about this. He gets something old out. Okay, you may get a little sad in the middle of it. But then he gets something better and you reject it, you got a problem. You really got a problem. Because you don't want something better than what you had before. Anybody should want restoration. Anyone should want restoration.
Amen.
Okay.
Amen.
So, there's a few things in this lesson that's very important.
Mm-hmm.
The first thing is simply this. Like I said, the God of restoration. So he's always
going
to replace the old with the new. The other thing is this verse. Let me find it real quick. Can someone read Mark 16:18 for me?
All right.
Mark 16:18.
You got it? I got it. Mark 16:18.
They shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover.
This story is the fulfillment of Mark 16 and 18.
Yes.
Yeah. So, I don't know if y'all remember, but God, Jesus said that we shall do greater things.
That's right.
So, this means that you have the power and the authority that God has given you.
Yeah.
But it's up to you to use the authority that God has given you.
Okay.
Because you shall do greater things.
Okay.
Because just like Jesus, I don't know if y'all actually heard some of the miracles.
Yeah.
But walking on water. Demoniacs delivered. Blind sight restored.
Yeah.
Man by the pool of Bethesda. Okay. Man by the gate. Healings and all. These things are still going on today.
Yeah.
Just because you don't necessarily see them don't mean it's not happening.
That's right.
If you look hard enough, you can definitely find them.
Yeah.
Because these restorations are happening. But it's up to you to see these miracles. These miracles are still happening. Because we serve a God of the miraculous. But at the same time, God doesn't change. He's the same God from then to now.
That's right.
The same God.
That's right.
Yeah.
But it's just the people that change. It's the only difference.
Hmm.
So,
yeah.
Also,
glory,
hallelujah.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Amen. I'm loving this lesson. Everybody received what they needed to receive. Mm-hmm. And I know we've had those days where we would be thinking, you know, it's like, well, I wasn't intending to go here. I wasn't intending to go to this certain place. I'm not sure if Paul was intending to go to Malta, but God had a plan. Amen. Even when we're not intending to go to certain places, but that day, you know, he puts it in our spirit. Well, you know what? Go here instead of there. I'll go over here instead of there. Because he has something that he wants to do. Amen. And I love how he was, even though he had his own issues going on, his own problems, he put him aside and took care of God's business. Amen. And as he put himself aside and took care of God's business, God made sure that Paul and the people that were with him, as you said, had everything that they needed.
Amen. And also
And
I want to say, too, this shows us also that sometimes we have to come out of the four walls. Mm-hmm. That's what I'm saying. I heard you saying the work of an evangelist. You see what I'm saying? Sometimes we have to get out because sometimes people are not going to come in. They're not going to come in between these four walls. They just won't. They have issues. And I know because I had issues before I did. I said, you know, I'm unworthy. I'm not going. I feel I'll be judged. They don't know me. They don't know what I'm going through. There's so many things that run through our mind. Or I'm not ready. You see what I'm saying? And so we have to get out there, and we have to put it out there. And he'll show us where. There was something about the Jews that you said, too. They always felt like they were better. You see what I'm saying? And sometimes the people out in the world, they feel like when they're dealing with us, well, you think you're better. Well, you think we're not good enough. Because we're in the world, and we have to remember where they are, that's where we came from. You see what I'm saying? None is better than the other. God loves everybody. But he even says in Acts that we're to go, and what is the scripture? We're to teach all nations. That means we're to teach. The Jews had set aside just for them, and I thank God also, because the way it set out with Jesus, he was out there looking for the lost sheep of Israel. But God is such a wonderful God and a loving God. He says, no, that's not enough. He said, I want you to go to every nation. You see what I'm saying? I want you to go to the Asian and the blacks and the whites and the purples and the greens. I want you to go to all of them so they'll know me. Because he's the God of the universe. He's the God of all of us. And I thank God for that. I heard you saying also when you said, we have to be careful when you say, send me. You have to have, like Paul, have your mind made up. You right. Because look at Daniel in the lion's den.
Yes.
You see what I'm saying? Send me, Lord. Or I'll go for you, Lord. And I've done that. But then you in the lion's den, and you got, wherever you go, you got to have the faith of God and believe that God is going to deliver you. And he's in his lion's den. And the lions, they ate up a lot of Christians. But God is so faithful. He took the lions, he took their appetite away. You see what I'm saying? And so he's good. Wherever he send you, you will be equipped with him.
Yes.
Him being with you. But it's the faith, his faith that we take with us. And God is good. But we have to walk to God. One other thing I want to say too. Last week, Paul, this same man who was a Christian slayer, you see what I'm saying, was on that road to Damascus. And many Christians, before their Christians, falling off their horse on the road to Damascus. But he was blinded, the scales were gone, and he was baptized and filled with the Holy Ghost. Now you're ready for ministry. You see what I'm saying? Now look where he is after last week's lesson. Look where he is now. Laying hands on, healing, and snake bit. And it's not all nice and pretty.
Yeah.
But when you think about what Jesus went through, that wasn't nice and pretty either. But he overcame all the things of the world and people. And it's a crown. Yeah. Once we finish with the suffering and the going through, there's a crown set up for us if we let no man take it. And that's not a crown that we relinquish after a year, like Miss America. You see what I'm saying? It's one for all eternity.
Amen. And that's true, because like I said a few weeks ago, like, salvation is free, but the anointing costs.
Yes.
And the cost is not cheap.
No.
It really is not.
No.
It will be late nights. It will be suffering.
Yeah.
But like pain is access.
Yeah.
Pain truly is access. All
yes.
that stuff you go through is not for no reason. But that
mm-hmm.
stuff is to gain different things.
Yes.
God gives you things because of that, because of pain and because of those different things. Because you have to realize that, like I said, the anointing is not free. Because if the anointing was free, everybody would be anointed. Not everyone is anointed. Some people are anointed, some people are not. Everyone is called, but few are chosen. The other thing I have to say is that everyone go through things, but it depends on how you react that shows who you serve. Your reaction time. Yeah, that's important. That is important. Because Christians, a lot of times we're the main ones that react quick, and we react bad. Real quick, y'all. I mean, real quick.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know if you really saw Paul. He got bit by a viper, and it never said that he really freaked out. But it said that all he did was he shook off the beast into the fire
mm-hmm.
and felt no harm.
All right.
Can you imagine getting bit by a viper and literally just saying, oh, that's nothing, and then walking away? That's how you know you serve God if you can do that. You really know. Like, you know how the faith you have to have? To first off, because the first thing, I'm not going to lie, yo, I probably forgot a little bit. So I'm like, y'all need to suck this poison out because I'm trying to live. I mean, the fact that he just walked away. That's what I'm saying. This was AD 59 and 60. They didn't have all that stuff back then. So the fact that he just literally, he shook it off in the fire and he said, what's next? He was a trooper.
Yeah.
He was a trooper, a trailblazer. Go ahead.
Yeah. Oh, But look, even when I saw those people on the aisle, you see what I'm saying? I heard you calling them all these names. What some of the names you said they were, what they paid heathens.
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying? Once you meet face to face with them, it's like, okay, we've been here long enough. Let's build a raft and see if we can float off. You see what I'm saying? But and I'm just being real with you. See, because it's like, okay, well, I've gone in that hole or the cave where Jesus was. You see what I'm saying? Who was it? Peter went on in, but Johnson, mm-mm. See, it's like, we like, what it is, we like to pick
mm-hmm.
and choose where he we want to go. He said, well, I want to see the
mm-hmm.
cave.
Yep.
I want you to see firsthand what's in there. And then we're like, I want to go by the pretty water. I don't want to go in the cave. Or we're like this. We cherish or we see somebody else's anointing or job or what they're doing, and they make it look easy and they make it look good. Well, that's what I want to do. But see, we don't know what somebody else has gone through. We don't know what the late night brings. You see what I'm saying? We don't know who's going to stay up all night praying, because let me tell you, when he wake me up when I at 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning, it don't hit my spirit to pray. I have to be honest and real with you, because see, all my life, not since I got older, all my life I like my night sleep. You see what I'm saying? And after wrestling with myself for a while, I said, okay, I'll pray. You see what I'm saying? It's not always something we want to do. And we have to let people know. It's not about what you want. It's about what he wants you to do. It's about satisfying, obeying him. It's all about him. When we get to the end of ourselves and let him have his way, dying to the old me, like you said, and he'll give you a new you. You see what I'm saying? Because the harvest, it is plenteous. It's so many people out there that need us and need the word and need saving. They need love. Mm-hmm. They need to know God loves them. They need to know they haven't been forgotten, not just by God, but they haven't been forgotten by us. They need some joy. That's the reason so many things are happening. And it's so many shoes. They feel forgotten. They feel pushed aside. You see what I'm saying? They feel like nobody cares. You see, we have a lot of work to do. Paul is showing us some of the things that we go through and suffer. We've got to do it. We've got out there and let the nations know. Let Jews know when you run into Jews. Let a woman who's got her head covered and wearing her native thing, let her know God is still good. You see what I'm saying?
That is true. That's a big problem in today's church, is that a lot of us like to envy the leaders. They don't know what they truly go through. Because you have to realize that a leader is a leader for a reason. But you have to realize that they didn't just get there. They didn't just say one day, I'm going to be pastor today. It don't work like that. It takes time. It takes devotion. It takes sacrifice. Sacrifice is something that God loves. God loves sacrifice. And honestly, if you think about it, if you really think about it, you'd be willing to sacrifice if you think about what Jesus did. Because it can't be worse than that. It really can't. It truly cannot. I mean, he was tortured.
Torture
is actually an understatement of what he had to go through.
Mm-hmm.
And yet, someone say, to do this or do that, and you say, well, no, I don't think I can do that. I don't see myself in that shit. But yet, that's exactly what they say. Me? Like, yeah. Sacrifice is important. And a lot of people don't realize that you can't really get to where God has called you unless you sacrifice some stuff. Because something you have to sacrifice is your old self. Because you can't do the same things that you did when you get to that new place.
That's right.
You sacrifice. You can't do a lot of things you could before.
That's right.
Another thing about the anointing is you cannot do what you did before.
That's right.
A lot of things is lost. A lot of things is sacrificed. It's a lot more devotion time. A lot more devotion time.
Right. Yeah.
You can't do the stuff that you did before.
You cannot.
Also, I wanted to say that with Paul. Paul had already been promised that he was going to go to Rome. Because that was where his main place he was called to. Because of all the Gentiles, he was supposed to be witnessing to all the Gentiles there. This shows you right here that when God makes a promise, he will not fail on it.
That's right.
Yeah.
He literally went through a shipwreck. Then he got bit by a snake. Matter of fact, someone read for me 2 Corinthians 11, 23-28.
Yeah.
And just say a little bit about Paul's life. And see the stuff that if he can go through this, God can do the same for you and bring you out of the same things, if not worse. So.
2 Corinthians
11, verse 23-28. Because no weapon formed against you shall prosper. That's important.
2 Corinthians 11, starting at verse, you said 23?
Yes.
23. Are they ministers of Christ? Mm. I speak as a fool. I am more. In labors more abundant, in stripes above measure, in prisons more frequent, in deaths all. Of the Jews, 5 times received I 40 stripes, save one. Thrice was I beaten with rods. Once was I stoned. Thrice I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day I have been in the deep. In journeyings often, in perils of water, in perils of robbers, in perils by my own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness. Beside those things that are without, that which cometh upon me daily, the care of all the churches.
Wow.
All of that he went through. He went through all of that.
Yeah.
And yet he still decided to serve our God. That's persistence. That is dedication and that is loyalty. Wow. But yet, you go through one little thing and you saying, well, God, I'll see you in about 3 years and you're gone. It don't work like that.
Yeah.
Three? Maybe 10? I don't know. People different. I don't know. But it don't work like that. It takes dedication. Because it's a consistency thing too also. Because you can't say, I'm gonna pray tonight, and I'm gonna pray hard tonight, and I'm gonna pray and do this, and I'm gonna do this tonight, and it's gonna be good. And then 3 weeks later you say, okay, I'm gonna do it tonight too. And then you done missed 21 days and you still come, I'm gonna do it today.
Yeah.
You done miss another 14, you say, okay, I'll do it today. Yeah. It's consistency. And you wonder why nothing is changing, it's because you're not praying enough.
Yeah.
You're not. How are you going to say, okay, well, I want this and I want this. But what are you doing so God can give you that? What are you giving God?
Yeah.
That's where tithes come important too.
Yeah.
Because you're 10%, you're sacrificing your first.
Yeah.
That's important. Your service is important because you cannot be a true Christian and not serve.
Yeah.
How are you going to be a true Christian and you're not doing nothing? You're just sitting there. That's not how it works. You got to serve some type of way.
That's right.
You got to serve. Christians serve.
That's right.
Because what did Jesus do?
That's what he did.
He served.
That's right.
Wherever he went, he served. You got to think about this too, because even almost any person in leadership, Minister Glover, Minister Lane, Sister Barrett, Pastor Glover, whatever they do, what do? They serve.
Yeah.
What matters is the title does not matter.
That's right.
About how you go throughout the title.
Yes.
So you may be a leader, but almost every leader knows that you have to serve to be where you are today.
That's right.
You have to serve.
Mm-hmm.
Serving is very important because serving opens things for you. Yeah. It opens.
Yeah, it does. Yeah. Let me say this: in everyone is capable of serving or is a servant. In your house, some kind of way, you're serving with cause. You see what I'm saying? And that's preparation for God to use you if you want to be used. But you're going to really go through something if you began with God and you don't see it through. You see what I'm saying? And you don't see it through. If something has angered you. What's that scripture? What hindereth you? Oh, foolish Galatians. You see what I'm saying? What other gospel are you with? Are you looking at? And there's only one. You see what I'm saying? In other words, what I'm saying is so much stuff happened. If I told you all the stuff that happened to me, and you still have to, this is the one thing, you must have your mind made up. No matter what.
Mm-hmm.
No matter what. I was reading this, it may be, help me, Minister Glover, it may be today's scripture, and I believe it's Romans 8:28. Read it. But in there somewhere, help me, Minister Glover, find that. That because in there somewhere, we know the one that says all things work together. But somewhere at the end around there, it says, what shall separate me from the love of God?
Right.
It's somewhere around,
I don't know,
but I read it this morning. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Because when you separate, you're not going to be fully there. You're not going to be fully in. Your mind is not fully set. Your spirit is not fully there. Whatever could have separated you. But one thing about it, whatever separated you from God, okay, it happened. But I love it that God will never separate from us.
Yeah.
See, we hold his hand and he hold ours, but you know what? Something can come up where I turn his hand loose, but you know what? He'll never turn us loose. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
What does that scripture say? What should separate us a minute?
Yeah.
8:35.
From
the love of Christ.
Yeah, like.
What should separate us?
Yeah, who should separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation.
Tribulation.
Distress. Persecution. Distress. Persecution.
Persecution.
Famine.
Famine.
Nakedness.
Nakedness.
Peril.
Peril.
Or sword.
Huh?
Or sword.
Or sword.
Mm-hmm.
Death.
Mm-hmm.
You see what I'm saying? And now that's a broad statement there.
Yeah.
Some of the stuff, we ain't got that yet.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm glad you said that. I forgot to bring up Romans 8:28. So Romans 8:28 simply say, and we know that all things work together for the good.
Mm-hmm.
To them that love God, to them that are called according to his purpose. A lot of people disregard that part that says to them that love God.
Love
God. He didn't say to them that like God. Than that mention God.
Okay.
Than that love God.
Hmm.
A lot of us take God as something that's supposed to be just, it's so far away, and it's just, oh, I don't know how I can get to that, and I can't. If you think about God as a relationship, you would be actually somewhat, you'd be surprised what can happen. Because a lot of us, what you do in a relationship, if you went 3 weeks without talking to your husband, your wife, your girlfriend, or your boyfriend, y'all ain't gonna be together no more. It's simple as that. That ain't gonna work out. It ain't gonna work out. But yet, when it comes to God, you over there talking about, well, I'm gonna wait like a month and then I'm gonna test it back. It don't work like that, y'all. It don't. It truly don't.
That's right.
Especially if one is trying to reach out to you and speaking to you every day, but yet you won't test them or call them back. That's messed up.
That's messed up.
Yeah.
But yet, that's messed up, bro. That it really is. It truly
and
is.
He'll receive you back.
He really will.
Yeah.
And that's really the grace and mercy of him, because no matter what you go, no matter what you pit him through, no matter what you do with it, all that stuff. Guess what? Every time he's gonna say, "Come on here, my child."
All right.
That's that. What do you call it? The agape love.
Yeah.
It ain't like no other love. Because I'm telling you, if someone do me like that, I'm gonna be like, well, you know what? Deuces. See you later. I'm not. I'm definitely not. That's not okay.
Deuces.
Throw them up and walk out.
What about mercy? What about grace?
Yes, because I don't have a God.
That's true, but you know what?
Because,
like that?
Yeah. Listen to what I'm going to say. We striving.
Yeah.
We striving.
That's right.
Because that ain't right. That really is not. That truly is not.
What about the forgiving part of?
Oh no, I'll forgive you, but we won't be talking about that. I mean, that's simple. I'm not trying to be funny, y'all, but I'm serious. You have to think about God, and you have to realize that what you do, it has an effect on other people.
Yes.
And even when you, another thing y'all do not do, I think about this God. I'm serious, y'all, because do not blaspheme. Because a lot of people go and say stuff, and you don't realize it's hurting you and your family.
Yeah.
Because what you do, it does matter with your family, too.
Yes.
All that stuff is surrounded. Because it's kind of like, if you in the middle, all those people around you, it's just the, what do they call that damage? The,
Collateral
damage. Mm.
Yes.
It will hit.
That's
and
right.
When it hit hard.
Yeah.
Because we serve a God of love, but we definitely serve a God of judgment also.
Yeah. Mm. We all connected.
It's true, y'all. It really is.
Amen.
But I'm pretty much done. I just want to say that, just keep focusing on God, y'all, and make sure that y'all actually rely and talk to God.
Amen.
It's important. You have to rely and talk to God. Because he truly is there whenever you're ready to listen and ready to talk back.
Yes, he is.
But
yes,
you have to know
is.
That you have to step into it. He already made the first step.
Yes.
Now you just got to walk into it. He's knocking at the door.
Right.
Are you going to open it, or are you going to pick them 3 locks in there and be like, well, no. So I'm done. To God be the glory.
Go ahead. Yeah. Yes.
Oh, questions, y'all?
Yeah, amen. Amen.
And then I just wanted to encourage you, Brother
Trey,
and just say, continue in Christ.
Continue
to stay motivated.
Amen.
Amen. And I just wanted to comment, even as you
you were talking, I thought about how Pastor Gutter was saying, you know, God is with us. No matter what you go through, God is with you. I thought about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego when he talked about last Sunday. Mm-hmm. They threw them in the fiery furnace and they burned, you know, and they weren't black and crispy when they came out. They was good. They was fresh, so fresh and so clean.
That's right.
And so thank God for his grace and his mercy. So I thank God we serve a God of just, he's just an awesome God. I just thank God for him.
Be true.
Amen. I just want to encourage you also. I thank God for your upbringing.
Amen.
You see what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. I thank God for the foundation of the word that you've been brought up in and under. Amen. And it's so important that we keep our youth involved.
Mm-hmm.
So they can, we've always got a generation after generation after generation, because that's what God is doing. He's using generations.
That's right.
Somewhere in there, he says, put this on the heart of your father, do this, and put it on the, bind it on the heart of your son. And
mm-hmm.
You see what I'm saying? And that does not leave the girls out, but everybody's to be taught. This day and time, mm-hmm. we have so many ways that we can read. And if you can't read, you got audio. If you don't understand, there's something somewhere that's going to explain it to you. You see what I'm saying? We have so many things and so many challenges in life. We must keep our youth informed, because the enemy is out there waiting to devour them and everybody else. And that's what's happening to our youth. And so I just thank God that you're here and not out there.
Amen.
And we pray for our other youth also.
Amen. Amen.
That's what I think I say this every time I teach, but I'm going to say it again. We have to realize you cannot rely on someone else to get to God and to get into heaven.
Mm.
It don't work like that. It truly do not. It really don't.
No.
And I say this every time I teach, and I'm going to keep saying it. You cannot rely on Pastor Glover, Minister Glover, Minister Lane, even your mom, your dad, your grandparents. You can't do that. That's not how it works.
Mm-hmm.
That's not how it works. You have to have a personal relationship with God. It's really important. Because it's just like that relationship I was saying. A lot of stuff go back to, if you really think about it, if you think about God as someone that you've been dating or something like that, you will actually have a better relationship with God.
Yeah.
Because you have better morals. And it's not the fact you have better morals towards people than God.
Okay.
That's already an issue.
Okay.
But it's the simple fact is, you have to realize that if you're dating someone and a third party come in there and tell us something, well, let's just go ahead and we're going to do this. Well, I don't know, some people are weird. I mean, that shouldn't be okay.
It
really shouldn't be okay.
Yeah.
But some people may do that, but with God, it don't work like that. If a third person have to come in, hopefully it's just to get you in the door, get you motivated to start getting in that word, get you motivated to start praying. But after that, you should start being able to talk to God on your own. You shouldn't have to have someone there with you and be like, I brought a buddy today and I want to see if we can talk to God that I can't get to. That's not how it works.
Yeah.
God speaks to everybody.
That's right.
He truly do.
He it's absolutely do.
So, that's it.
Amen.
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 Brother
Kevin?
You got a mic?
Yeah, get you a mic. I'll pass him a mic. We see you, Sister Sarah.
Like God always know a place to other with you, no matter what it is.
That's right.
All right, amen. All right. Hallelujah. 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 Back up. Yes.
Go ahead.
Oh, no. Okay. Yeah, go ahead.
First, I want to say very well taught message. Man. It truly is, like I always say, it's an encouragement to see the youth grow up and be the youth no more, to be the men and the women of God that God wants y'all to be. Truly, it's a good lesson. I can tell you studied and you dug in the word and it truly it showed and it paid off. I know that sigh of relief once you finish.
Yes, Lord.
It's like going to a restroom and just dropping. Yeah. So,
yes, Lord. Yes, Lord.
So I just want you to be encouraged. Even in talking about the lesson, I did notice that people are going to talk about like how they talked about Paul, saying when he's a murderer, he was this, he was that. People are going to talk about you, but be encouraged.
Yeah.
Okay, be encouraged. Yeah. Also, I noticed in the lesson that sometimes it seems like the person that's doing all the work is the person that gets the bite. Because if you notice, none of those people got bit.
Uh-huh.
It was the one that was doing work, who was looking to keep the fire going. So even in your life, as you want to keep the fire going, you may notice that it may seem like you're the one that's singled out. Because I remember like when I used to go to parties, or I would go, it's always the stuff would happen to me. You know, somebody would spill a drink on me. Somebody would do something to me, or they would trip me and I would fall, but everybody else would be okay. And I would always wonder, like, why is God always picking on me? But, you know, we kind of signed up to be picked up, to be picked on.
That's right.
But to know that you're an example.
That's right.
To exemplify, to push the word out there, like it talks about even in the other verse where it says, when is our job now? It's to change somebody's mind. If people are not changing their mind, and they're keeping the same aspect and the same way of thought, the same way of law of life, then we're not doing our job.
Yeah.
Right? We're not doing our job. And it's different folks to touch different folks. So what one may not be able to reach, another may be able to reach. So we got to make sure that everything that we're exemplifying and edifying the word of God. And again, just truly, a good lesson. And I'm so proud of you.
Amen.
I like that. I want to say one other thing, too. Come to find out, we really don't know each other. We really don't. Only God knows each and every one of us individually.
Mm-hmm.
You see what I'm saying? And I know the past, but I'm saying we really don't. So us really not, we deal with more of a top layer. We really don't deal with the deep down inside gut of a person. It's just like, well, I won't go that way because y'all not old enough to understand churning and how. But it's like oil and water. One, it rises. But we really come to find out we really don't know each other.
Mm-hmm.
And that is a reason why everyone should be given another chance with each other. You see what I'm saying? That's really what God wants, because he's the one that really knows us. Well, I think I know you, Brother Trey. You see what I'm saying? But I really don't know all to you or about you, and you're connected to me through blood. God knows you.
Mm-hmm.
And he knows the deep down about you. And there's some things on the deep down of you, maybe I haven't even given you a chance to be worked or to come out.
Yeah.
So that tells us we don't know each other. So that means, you know what? We should be giving each other another chance. And okay, well, let's do it again. Almost like a dance. Okay, well, let's dance again. Maybe another record. Okay, another song. Let's dance again. See, that's what he wants. But, We've got to have something in there where it'll bring unification, not just on first Sundays or not just with the supper. You see what I'm saying? We really need to come together, because the world is together on what they do. They got it all mapped out and all worked out. And we've got to love one another. And we've got to give each other another chance, and another chance, and another chance. We can't put a stop sign up and say, that's it. We really can't. Because, see, if Paul did, that's what Paul did before he got saved and healed.
Mm-hmm.
See what I'm saying? So, and guess what? He got some more places to go, and more places to go. And so, I thank God for your servant today and your teacher today.
Amen. Real quick, I'm talking about.
So, just based on what you were saying too, is God looks at the heart. So another thing is that you should be careful about impure actions, because sometimes you focus too much on the gift and you won't actually pay attention to what God has given you.
Mm-hmm.
So it's important that when you have that, those different things, like even with praying and doing these different things for God, that you remember that it's for the love of God, not because of the love of what, not for the love of the gift. That's important. And the other thing I had to say, Brother Otten reminded me of it, was that not everybody can go everywhere.
Yeah.
So nothing happens for no reason.
Yeah.
That shipwreck didn't happen for no reason. If that shipwreck would not have happened, he wouldn't have ended up in Malta. And he wouldn't have got to them people. He wouldn't have healed that person. But you have to remember, it was God ordained.
Mm-hmm.
But none of that stuff would have happened. So it just shows you that our story, nothing in our life happens for no reason. It's all for it's all because we're worried about it.
Amen. 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 Amen.
Hallelujah. 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 Come on, give the Lord a hand clap. Amen. Let's thank the Lord. Amen. For Brother Trey. Amen. Breaking down the word for us on today. Amen. Want to thank all of you, amen, that joined us by way of Zoom. Amen. Those of you that joined us by way of Facebook Live, you see your Sister Sarah on Facebook Live there. Sister Kay, want to thank you for joining us by way of Zoom. And so we're just excited, amen, that the Word of God is leaving the walls. Amen.
Yeah.
And getting outside, amen. Brother Trey, we want to thank you for your studying. Amen. Yeah. For putting it down. Holding, amen, the standard. Keeping the standard high. Amen. We don't water down the word here at Rock of Ages. Amen.
Yeah.
We're going to give you, amen, the concentrated word of God. Amen. And so I'm excited. Amen. Then I'm excited. Can I be honest? It's my son. It's my son. Amen. This is exciting. Amen. My son and my daughter are up, amen, teaching, amen. You know, that's every parent. Well, I guess it may not be every parent's dream, but it's certainly my dream, amen, to see my son and my daughter actively working in ministry, in service, amen. Amen. So I thank God for both of them, amen. It's good to know, amen, that if I close my eyes tomorrow, amen, or today, amen, ministry is still going to go on here at the Rock of Ages Gospel Church, amen. And there are many, amen, and they just them too, amen. There are many, amen, that are coming, amen. There are many, amen, that are coming. There are many that are coming, amen, and ready to work for the Lord. Amen. I was excited about what you said too, Brother Trey. I thought about that when you said this thought came that God's plans are not always obvious to us. Amen. And that's one of the things, that's the last thing that he said, is that, you know, learn to take what is going on in your life and try. Amen. Learn to know, amen, God is in control. Amen. And so whatever's happening in our life, amen, is for purpose. It's with purpose. Amen. And so that's one of the things that we struggle with. Amen. Maybe it's just me. Amen. Maybe it's not you. But struggling to understand the purpose of why we're going through a certain situation. But I'm thankful to God that Trey, you did a wonderful job on breaking down this miracles on Malta. Amen. Miracles on Malta. Amen. And we're thankful. Amen. We want to, amen, to continue to lift up, amen, Sister DeAsia, amen, Brother Josiah, Brother David, amen, Sister Thompson, amen. We're just thankful, amen, for having the experience to celebrate with her, amen. And we know, amen, that we'll pass on arrangements, amen, when we reach that part, amen. But we're just excited, amen. It's like I feel her in the building anyway. Like her spirit is here, amen. She that was a boy right there, Brother Trey. So, amen. I can feel her in here, amen. Embracing him and saying, "You did good, man. You did good.
Yeah.
You did. You did good." Amen. Amen. So we'll there's no other comments, questions, amen. We'll go ahead, amen. Dismiss from our Sunday school, amen. And then we will we'll venture over to our worship service, amen. So we'll get our worship service started. Let's just call it about 12:20, amen. About 12:20, amen. Y'all know we flexible over here at The Rock. Amen. You know what? Let's just make it 12:30. Amen. 12:30, that'll give everybody some good time.
What time is it?
Yeah, that'll give you 25 minutes. 25 minutes, amen, to grab you something to eat. Amen. Take a potty break, amen. Come back and see us, amen. Those of you that are on Zoom, by Facebook Live, amen. Come back and see us, amen. And we'll be back in just a little bit. 12:30, we'll get started with our service, amen. We love y'all, amen. And we, more importantly, God loves you more. Amen. Hallelujah. Hey, hey, hey. All right. God bless you. Amen.